Hello. Greetings from Cokato, Minnesota. My name is Rena Koski. I am here to tell you a bit about the Cokato congregation, which can be found in central Minnesota, a small farming community of about 2,800 people. I think the most unique thing about our congregation is its deep roots. Minnesota officially became a state about 170 years ago in 1858. Just a short 6 years later, the first Finnish immigrants came to Minnesota. Many were pursuing better jobs, higher wages, or the promise of land ownership in America. At that point, anyone coming to this area would have had to either walk or come by horse and buggy. But about 5 years later, the railroad was expanded through Cokato and to the west. That was an exciting time, I'm sure, in 1869. The very first North American congregation of believers was then formally organized in this Cokato area about 3 years later, in 1872. I was surprised to learn it wasn't even until 6 years later, in the spring of 1878, that the town of Cokato itself was even officially founded. Two of my grandparents, Esther Aho Simonson and Paul Reisenen, were born in the 1920s and raised in this area. My own parents, Gordy and Ruth Reisenen, were born in the mid-50s and also grew up in Cokato. I was born near Cokato and grew up hearing stories from my dad about the busy life on the farm and from my mom about the town folks, many of whom she had known since her childhood. Back in the day, a majority of our congregation members were rural families farming the local land, raising crops and animals, growing orchards and gardens, and I suppose living the good old days. In 2004, I married my Canadian husband, Eric Koski, and we raised our family in Ontario, Canada for about 16 years. We returned to Minnesota and were blessed to spend the last 4 years of my dad's life here. In a small town, it is quite common that we see each other very often, and many of the children go to the same schools together for 13 years. It was not always so, but we now have about 310 adult members, 330 Sunday school students, and well over 100 in the HAPS group. Nowadays, although many Cokato families still live in the country, I think a majority commute toward the Minneapolis-St. Paul area for work. God has richly blessed our congregation. Recently, I had the joy of visiting one of our congregation's elders, Carol Hoika, who will tell about her experiences over many decades as a member of the Cokato congregation. So it is a beautiful Saturday afternoon, and I'm heading to the retirement home. Here I am pulling into Cokato Manor and Brookridge. It's actually really full of cars today, which is great because that means our residents and elderly are getting visitors. But today I'm going to see if any of our elderly from church our home, and if they would be willing to visit for a little bit. Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Carol. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Oh, you have some nice sunshine in here.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Good peace.
I just came from the rink. I dropped off a skater at the rink.
Okay. So
I suppose your kids used to go to the rink.
Oh, yeah. They used to go a lot. But then we always had a big rink in back, too.
Oh, in your backyard.
In your backyard.
Okay.
So, but then they still go up to the rink.
They like to go there when they can play with
others.
You know, others.
Yeah.
You've got it set up nice here.
Yeah.
Look at all your family pictures and.
Yeah.
Okay. Carol, what do you think if I ask you a couple of questions, kind of about Cokato congregation or growing up here?
Oh yeah.
Is that easy?
Yeah.
Okay. That wouldn't be hard. So I thought maybe in the beginning, if you tell just a little bit about yourself, maybe your full name, stage of life, a little about your family.
Okay. Carol Ann Hoika.
Okay.
I've been in Cokato for many, many years.
And were you born in
Annandale?
No, I was born in Onamia, Minnesota, up by Mille Lacs Lake. And I lived there for 9 years.
I didn't
until
know
my mom died.
Yes.
And then we moved to the city. And then after that, we moved out to Wright County. And then it's been Wright County mostly all my life.
And so your stage of life, you're 82.
You're 82. Yeah. And I never thought I'd get to be this old.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought I'd die young.
Okay, well, why do you think you thought that?
Well, because during my pregnancies, I was always laid up. I had to stay in bed. And I guess I just thought we'd never have any retirement. And we had 21 years of retirement.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I was thinking as far as the Cokato congregation, when do you remember kind of being a part of Cokato congregation then?
Well, as soon as we got married. We weren't believing when we got married, neither one of us.
Okay.
But we still went to church in Cokato.
Okay, so another church or?
No, to our church.
Did you know people there or how did you end up there?
Well, that's the church Lauren was brought up in.
Okay.
His mother was from that church.
Of course,
We were always gonna go there for 1 year, you know, to see if he liked it. Well, we ended up here forever.
Oh, isn't that neat?
Yeah.
I never knew that part of your story.
No, a lot of people didn't.
Yeah. So that's been since you were, how old were you when you got married?
20.
Okay, so he was about 30, you were about 20.
He was 30 and I was 20.
And then you have how many children?
We had 10.
Okay.
And we lost one in 77.
Oh, just a year older than me.
Yeah, yeah.
So probably between Dale and Sarah.
Between Dale and Sarah.
Yeah.
We lost a little boy and his name was Paul Elmer.
I actually recognize from the cemetery.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Out there by the, and now right by the church. I really like having the cemetery right there.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. You can walk through and, you know, you kind of see history.
Yeah.
Just,
We used to go out to the cemetery a lot.
Okay.
And just walk through.
Yeah. I always found the cemetery not scary. You know,
no.
We lived next to it for however long, many years growing up.
Yes.
I suppose I was a teenager.
Yeah.
But quite peaceful.
It's peaceful.
It is.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to walk out there and just walk through it. And
yeah, there's a lot to see.
Yeah, there's a lot to see out there. And you learn a lot of history.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of history out there.
Okay, so I was going to ask a little bit about the early congregation. Was that then, what year did you get married?
64.
So then it was north of town.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big orange brick.
Yep.
Church.
Yep.
Can you tell a little bit, 64 did you say? Or around that?
64 we got married.
So then it wasn't so much later that then the heresy came?
No, the heresy came then.
Yeah. So can you tell a little bit about the change in the, I would imagine the congregation shrunk?
Yes, there were only 14 members.
Okay.
That were
preserved.
Okay,
14 adults
14
probably.
14 adults.
And probably from what size do you think approximately before?
Oh, it was big before.
Okay.
It was big and everybody used to come on Communion Sunday.
Yeah.
Whether they were, you know, they believed or not, they usually always came on Communion Sunday.
So then the church was full
and it was full.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd go downstairs and you'd have to duck your head to go down.
Oh, because it was short. Yeah.
Yeah. But once you got down there, then it was big.
Because the dining hall was in the lower level.
It was in the lower level.
Yeah, I can kind of picture. So it shrunk to 14 adult members, and then I thought to ask, how has the congregation changed over the years? So since the early 70s, what kind of things could you tell someone who's never been here, you know, how much it's changed? Of course, Stockholm Church.
Yeah,
we
went to Stockholm for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to buy that church with cash.
The Stockholm Church.
Hilma had seen it.
Hilma Greco
was the one who saw it. And she got the people all together, and out of those 14 members, they were able to scrape up the little bit of money we needed to buy it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what was it before? Was it a school or
it
no?
It was a two-room school.
It was a school. Okay.
Stockholm School. So it had a lot of the things that we needed there.
Yeah.
But then we did a couple changes after we were there because we grew so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the church that I got married in then.
Yeah.
Let's see. So do you think you bought it around the mid-70s? If the
heresy was in 73, and we bought it right after that.
Okay, so maybe 74 or somewhere
73 or 74.
So, And then I remember when my parents got married, you must have been remodeling because that was in 77.
Yeah.
And they used the church next door.
Yes, it's the Stockholm Lutheran Church.
Yeah. But then, so that was, say, mid-70s. And then I got married 2004. So we were actually there.
Were we at the Stockholm Church yet?
Yeah. It was kind of the tail end. So about 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then it wasn't so much longer or later started getting the land north of town. And I guess that was Grandpa Paul's farm. Yeah. So that was Paul Reisman and Millie's. So tell me about when Hilma saw this school for sale.
Well, she right away
called
everybody and to get together. And we got together that night out at her house.
So would it have been the Greco farm?
At the Greco farm.
Yeah.
And they put up the money then for that school.
Okay.
It was only $7,000 or something.
Okay, but $7,000.
That was a lot of money back then.
Yeah, and you were each scraping from your own piggy banks.
Yeah, and we did. We did take out of our savings.
Yeah.
But we got it.
And remodeled.
And remodeled. We remodeled twice.
Yeah, because that grew a lot over those years.
It grew quite a bit.
Yeah. I remember going to Sunday school, ninth grade, and actually we didn't even fit there anymore, so we would walk to Nevela's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the house down the road.
Across the street.
Across the street, because Paul and Martha?
Martha.
Yeah, they lived there at that time, and they let us use their living room.
Yeah.
For our ninth grade classroom.
Oh, sure.
So then it was north of town. Did you ever dream you'd be back north of town at some point?
I didn't really know.
Yeah.
But it seemed like most people wanted to go back north of town.
Sure, yeah.
Up by the cemetery.
Yeah, that part I really do like.
Yeah, it's so nice now that the cemetery is right there.
Yeah, yeah. We can actually just walk to it.
We can walk to it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And we're one of the only congregations that can do that.
I suppose.
Yeah, nobody else can walk to their cemetery.
Yeah, I haven't really thought of that.
No.
But that is
That
is pretty special. And one thing I've noticed, especially, is when you hear the bells.
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like you walk all the way to the cemetery and you can hear them.
Yes, and they're ringing those bells.
Yeah. That's really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes.
Yeah. What are some of the bigger changes that you notice over the years? For sure, the size.
And it's grown. It's grown.
Maybe I'll have to find out, but I wonder if we're around 350 adult members, something, or is it 250 adult members?
I don't know.
Okay.
Sure.
One thing I do know, I'll have to check on that, but I think the Sunday school for sure is over 300.
350 some.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of kids growing up.
Lots of kids. And now the kids are staying there. The kids are staying here.
Yes. Have you noticed the communion line?
Yes.
How many men there are and older boys?
Yes.
I think there's a lot of boys who, they want to stay around here, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is home.
And they've grown up here and they've learned to like it and they just stay here.
Yeah. 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 I have noticed that too.
Yeah. Like our grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
They're all coming back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
In fact, they're all
back
married
probably.
And have jobs back here.
Yeah.
They have their own company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a very interesting early life.
Yeah.
When you said your mother died at age 9?
9.
And then eventually, did you have an adoptive mother? Or
no, I just had I lived with a family.
Oh.
But then they kept me for forever.
Okay, until you got old enough.
Yeah, and I stayed with them.
So when you think of that age up to this stage and you have almost 80 grandchildren.
Yeah.
And lots of great-grandchildren.
Yeah.
How would have you ever dreamed?
No. I would have never dreamed I was going to have 5 kids.
Okay.
And we had 10 instead.
Okay. Someone else had other plans.
Yeah. But that went out the window.
Yeah. If you were to describe the Cokato congregation now, how would you describe it to someone who's never been? Like maybe they're in Arizona or Alaska, or what do you think when you walk into the church now? Because you still make it there quite a fair amount.
Quite often. In fact, I'll probably be there. No, I won't go tomorrow.
Okay.
Amy's going to come here and get me.
Okay.
In the afternoon.
Very nice.
And whether I'll go Sunday night or not to church, I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah. Depends on the weather and stuff.
It's so big now. Does it feel overwhelming?
No. Or it feels like home.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always feels like home. And when I walk in, everybody notices me.
Yeah. It is a large congregation, but I think since you've been here so long that, you know, people definitely know the elders.
Yeah.
So I had one more question. Can you think of any time in your life when you felt the love of the Cokato congregation supporting you or your family or, I don't know, there's so many.
The whole time, I think they were part of our congregation. I mean, our congregation was always there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had to be laid up and I wasn't sick or anything.
Yeah.
But I had to stay down.
Yeah, that was a trial.
And that was a trial.
Yeah. I'm glad you were home because I thought, well, I don't want to, you know, worry someone about asking some questions, but if someone's home, then I can stop in.
Yeah. Well, it was nice. Yeah. I got to visit with you a little bit, too.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you.
Godspeed.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your time and your stories. Yeah. So, I'm heading out of the Brookridge and back to the main street that goes through Cokato, passing the sauna supply company, another sign of the deep Finnish roots around here. Well, there's the one and only grocery store in town, the Marketplace, and we're coming up to the one intersection. So when I head north, oh, and see what I can find. So just a little bit down the road, I am now at the Cokato Finnish Cemetery. Lots of Finnish names here, everywhere you look, actually. I'm just walking out to my dad's gravesite, and just behind it is Peter Nordstrom's and his wife, Sill. There's Matilla's, Hannes, Aho's, Simonson's, Kiernamies, their recent Koivisto and Hilika, beloved teenagers of our congregation. And a little further, I see the two little Schwab boys. A little bit further, I can see a mother that passed just a couple years ago now, leaving her husband and children. But it is quite comforting knowing all of these have gained their eternal home, of course, their victory in heaven. It's actually very peaceful out here. The cemetery has trees on most sides of it. Sun is setting in the west. It's cold. There's white snow everywhere. And just north of it is the church. So we can see the church. We're able to, like Carol was saying, walk straight from the church to the cemetery. Can hear the bells pealing. It's actually really beautiful. So right next to my dad's grave, he died just over a year ago, is my grandmother Esther Hannes, Aho Hannes Simonson. Lots of history out here. I just passed my mom actually coming out here, so I wouldn't be surprised if she had stopped out here for a little bit. I do love that about small town and everything's close by. It's chilly in the winter. So then it is just a short, well actually it's just right behind, is the current Cokato Church. So where our congregation has been for, I want to guess about 15 years, but I might have to do some research on that. Back to where the original church was years ago. Cokato Listadian Lutheran Church. I've feel super blessed driving in this driveway because this is my grandpa's old farm fields, but now this congregation has been able to build a beautiful church out here to meet our needs. I actually came back here just 5 years ago after living in Toronto, Canada for 16 years. And the growth is just unbelievable. In fact, we've just recently tried to push this parking lot further back to allow for more parking. So there is the church with the flag waving in the wind, cross up on the tall steeple. There's a pavilion that's on the side by the playground, and it overlooks the playground area. Pavilion overlooks the pond. I don't know. I think one of the things about our congregation is it's very rich in history, being one of the oldest, actually maybe the oldest in North America anyway. So a lot of history, 150 years plus. This church, I guess, there it is, built in 2011. Coming up 15 years. Everything's quiet right now, but tomorrow morning it won't be quiet. There will be a parking lot filled with cars for Sunday school, bringing over 350 kids. I don't know how many Sunday school teachers, but a lot. And then by 10:30, Sunday school 9:15, 10:30, there'll be a full parking lot and a full sanctuary, and the dining room will be half to three quarters. Communion Sunday tomorrow, probably full. So this is a growing congregation. Many, many memories and lots of blessings on this, what was once a very small congregation. Full moon coming out tonight.